We're experiencing extraordinary times with a booming economy and surging property markets. Yet, if history repeats itself, most property investors won't become rich. So in today's podcast, I want to share three separate lessons with you to help even the odds in your favour. Firstly, I'm going to explain six reasons many property investors don't become rich, and they're probably not the ones that you'd thought of. I'd also like to discuss a controversial topic, that debt can actually be an asset, not a liability. Now, of course, not everyone's going to agree with me, but I hope once you've heard my point of view, you're going to understand how the rich think, how successful investors think differently, how the rich keep getting richer because they know how to use debt wisely, especially in today's low interest rate environment. And then in my third lesson today with you, I'm going to share five things you can do differently to make your future better. So welcome to today's show.
Welcome to the Michael Yardney Podcast, where twice each week you will learn a number of new ideas regarding success, property investment and money in around 30 minutes. Our show is brought to you by Metropol, who specialise in helping you grow, protect and pass on your wealth through strategic property and wealth advice. Now here's your host, Michael Yardney, Australia's authority in wealth creation through property, who has been voted one of Australia's top 50 most influential thought leaders.
The fact is, most people will never get rich. Despite their best efforts, they read the blogs, they listen to the podcasts. And I've found, having worked with hundreds and hundreds of property investors over the years, I've discovered that successful property investors do things in a certain way that helps them become rich, while others continue to do things differently and they tend to struggle. Now, I've come to the conclusion that when you do what most successful people do, you're going to become one of them. And if you don't, you won't. So I'd like to have a chat with you about six simple reasons most people will never get rich and how you can make sure that you do. Now, the first reason is most people wait too long to start. Most people, they can't wait to succeed, yet they're willing to wait to get started on the road to success. Many investors are waiting for everything to be perfect before they get going. They wait for the right time in the cycle, the right property, the right economic environment, the right interest rates. You know what that means? They never get going. The longer you wait to get started in your investing, the longer it'll be before you get the money, the success, the freedom that you want. You see, it takes time to grow real wealth. It takes time for the power of compounding to work its magic. So you need to understand that timing will never be perfect, or you're never going to have all the information you want. What you need to do is develop the confidence to make an investment decision based on knowing enough, realizing that you're going to learn the rest along the way. The second reason a lot of people never get rich is because fear stops them. It stops a lot of people getting what they want, especially in matters of money. So be honest with yourself and count the number of times fear has prevented you from taking action. And in the process, look at how much it could have cost you financially and financial opportunity. In the matter of property investments, fear holds many investors back. Some are worried about taking on more debt. Others are worried about the fear of failure. Interestingly, some even have the fear of success. Believe it or not, they're wondering, will their friends still like them? What's going to happen if they're successful? This is one of the difficulties that a lot of investors have that I chat with them about as part of my mentorship program. Anyway, successful investors have learned to harness their fears. And rather than focus on the negatives, they use their fear to force them into positive action. For example, rather than allowing the fear of debt to stop taking on an extra commitment to buy a property, successful investors use the fear of not moving forward with their investments to motivate them. They use the fear of being stuck in their job for the rest of their life, without financial independence, without having the choices in life they crave. They use these fears to motivate them to take on the commitment of an investment property. Just like a river, fear can be bridged. The river of fear is only as deep and as wide as you allow it to be. And once you've crossed that river, once you've crossed that river of fear and experienced the success on the other side, you're usually going to look back and say, what was I afraid of? But here's the catch. The only people who actually realize this are those who've crossed the river and stand on the other side. Money and success live on the other side of fear. The third reason most people will never get rich is they're waiting until they know enough. Fear of not knowing enough prevents a lot of investors from getting started. However, the irony here is that you can learn more, but the more you learn, the more you realize you don't know. Once you start learning some basic investment context, you suddenly realize there are a whole lot more things that you need to know about investing, things about property that you don't understand. And that's the paradox of knowledge. The more you learn, the more you learn, you don't know. The trap is that many investors think that the way of escaping this paradox is to learn even more. So they read more books, they go to seminars if seminars are around, they watch webinars, they listen to podcasts, they watch videos. And as they learn more, they find a heap of new things they didn't even know. The way out of this is to recognize that while you don't know it all, and you never will, you do know enough to get started with your investing, and you're going to learn more along the way as you apply your knowledge in the real world. You're going to survive the mistakes, you're going to survive the challenges along the way. Now, of course, you can protect yourself from this by having smarter people around you, getting a good team around you. The fourth reason some people are not going to become rich is they focus on what I call linear income instead of passive income. Now, it's important to realize that not all income is created equal. Some streams are linear and some are passive. Linear income is what you get from your job. You work for an hour, you get paid. You work for another hour, you get paid. That's it. You don't turn up for work, you don't get paid. Passive income, it was when you work once but continue to get paid over and over again from work you're no longer doing. The way wealthy people become wealthy is because they've got passive income coming in whether they go to work or not. Wouldn't it be nice to get paid 100 times for every hour's work you do? Now, that's what happens with property investors. Initially, they work long hours, they save a deposit, they invest in property, and now their money starts working for them and keeps giving them sound investment returns passively in the form of capital growth and rental return. So rather than getting another job, wealthy people know they need to send their money out to get a job working for them. To put it simply, if you're not making money while you're asleep, you'll never become rich. So what I'm doing is sharing six reasons most people are never going to become rich. And in the process of this, I hope you're seeing where you fit in, what you can do differently, how you can think differently so that you can become rich. The fifth reason that a lot of people don't become rich is they're not using systems to make money. A system for making money is something that takes the emotion out of your investment decisions and it makes your results more reproducible. My preferred system is investing in high growth properties. In particular, I like investing in properties in areas that gentrifying, and I like adding value through properties. I like manufacturing capital growth through renovations or redevelopment. And I never sell these properties. I get my properties to buy me more properties. So I'm not buying properties for cash flow. I'm buying properties to grow my portfolio. Now, to be blunt, nowadays, as I've got a very, very substantial portfolio, I'm not growing my portfolio as quickly and I'm paying down my debts, but I've got more than enough cash flow coming from them. But the concept is to build a substantial asset base over time. And over the years, I borrowed against the increasing equity in my property portfolio to buy more properties. I didn't have to put money in. My properties helped me buy properties. Once you create a proven system for making money, there's no limit to the money you can make. And that's what we put together for our clients at Metropole when we build a strategic property plan for them. We show them how they can pyramid their wealth by buying the right properties. The last reason I'd like to share with you why a lot of people are not going to become wealthy is they're not patient. Warren Buffett said it well. He said, "Wealth is the transfer of money from the impatient to the patient." To become a successful property investor, that requires patience. That requires persistence. You not only have to get started, but you must continue on. You've got to follow through. Residential property investment is a long-term investment. It's not an event of buying a property. It's a process that takes time. And boy, it's not a get-rich-quick scheme. Yet many investors speculate rather than invest. They look for the next big thing, something that's going to land them the jackpot in a short time. In general, these deals rarely occur. And if you find one, they're speculative in nature. They're more risky. The problem for many investors is that the successful buy and hold strategy and add value strategy that I share with you on these podcasts It's boring. It's considered slow. But as I said, successful property investments are a long-term affair. If you're looking for excitement, go elsewhere. By the way, if you're looking for cash flow, you're probably not going to get it from property either. I know a lot of investors buy property because they're looking for more cash flow because they can't manage their money anyway. So buying a property and taking on debt is not going to help you. It's going to create more cash flow issues for a lot of people. So you've got to get some basic sound financial and investment knowledge. But the other thing is that many investors look for the latest fad, try to find the next hotspot or the next speculative growth area. Other investors look for other sorts of things with potentially higher returns. When you're tempted to do this, remind yourself that real estate's been the number one long-term multi-millionaire maker throughout Australia's history. Yet most people that speculate in the latest fads, they haven't made much money at all. You don't have to look for the latest fad or the next hotspot. If you create your own capital growth by buying good real estate at a fair price, and then adding value through refurbishments, renovations, or redevelopment. What I'm saying is that rather than just allowing the market to do the heavy lifting, you can force capital growth. You can manufacture capital growth by doing this. So it's really quite simple. Decide to do these six things that successful investors do, and you're much more likely to be a successful and wealthy property investor yourself. And if you don't, then like most people, you will never become rich. But with the property cycle moving on and with some great opportunities there, if you get these fundamentals right, now is the right time to take action and set yourself up for this new property wave. And you can trust the team at Metropol to give you direction, to give you guidance and give you results. Because despite having this information, not all properties are going to do well over the next year or two. In fact, like always, some are going to outperform others by 50 to 100%. So if you're looking to buy a new home or next home or invest in property, there are a number of ways my team at Metropol can help you. Go to metropol.com.au and find out. One of the ways we start is by building you a strategic property plan. Now, a moment ago, I said that property investment is a process. It's not an event. So you need to know what your plan is. It's a bit like getting onto a plane and not knowing where you're going to end up unless you have a ticket and a plan, a map of knowing where you're going to go. So planning is bringing the future into the present so you can do something about it now. And that's going to give you direction. It's going to give you results. Of course, we've got a buyer's agency, Australia's most trusted buyer's agency that's been involved in over $4 billion worth of transactions. And we can help you with our on-the-ground teams in Melbourne, Sydney and Brisbane. We've got wealth advisory, financial planning, property management, renovations, development. Go to metropol.com.au. Find out about how we can help you, and I look forward to being part of your wealth creation journey. I'd like to spend a minute explaining to you about a concept I like to call debt recycling and how you can earn money from debt. Now, you're probably taught by your parents to get a good education, get a good job, buy a home, work really hard and pay off your home quickly. But in my mind, that's not productive use of the equity in your home. Instead, I think you should recycle the equity in your home and convert it into productive debt to buy income-producing assets. But before I start delving into this debt recycling thing I'd like to share with you, let's start out by clarifying the difference between good debt and bad debt, and how having debt can actually benefit you, how it can set you on the path to financial freedom, how successful investors use debt wisely. First of all, there's three types of debt. Bad debt, that's the debt against assets that depreciate in value. It often refers to credit card or other consumer debt, and this does little to improve your financial outcome. In fact, it makes your financial outcome worse. Then there's necessary debt. That's the non-tax deductible debt against your home. It's necessary, it's essential, because most of us can't afford to buy a home without debt, and so we all have to take on some necessary debt. And then there's good debt. This is tax-deductible debt against income-producing and appreciating assets. Think about loans like investment properties or business loans. Even to some extent, one could say an investment loan against yourself, a loan for your university degree, your HECS debt, could be considered as good debt because in the future it's going to pay you back. Anyway, there's good debt, bad debt, and necessary debt. So not all debt is bad, but somewhere along the line you've probably been taught that debt is a problem. Now, I don't fully agree with that. I don't think having debt is a problem. I think not being able to repay your debt or the interest on your debt, that's a problem. And that's why it's important to understand the difference between good debt and bad debt. Having said that, in today's economic environment, I believe good debt is an asset. Now, I know this sounds counterintuitive. I know it's different to what most people will tell you. So please let me explain. In the old days, when you owned an investment property, your mortgage repayments were likely to be considerably more than the rent, which meant that if you had a good investment property, it was generally negatively geared. Now, that's not an investment strategy. It's just a result of the fact that your rent wasn't enough to cover the mortgage, and this resulted in a cash flow shortage. Now, the tenant would contribute to some of your mortgage. They'd pay the rent. The taxman would assist you with depreciation allowances and negative gearing benefits. But each month you would have had to contribute something to the mortgage from your own income or savings or your offset account. However, today, taking on good debt and borrowing at historically low interest rates and using it to leverage and grow your assets, while at the same time receiving rent that's likely to cover your interest payments, now that's a sound investment strategy. So your cheap debt is an asset because you're using it to create more equity, the value in your investment properties improves, and you're using it for cash flow. And you can also accelerate this concept using the concept that I'm going to show you now called debt recycling. So what is this debt recycling? Well, put simply, debt recycling is a strategy which turns your current home equity into a tax-deductible investment loan, and I'll explain to you what you should be doing with it. If, like many Australians, you bought a home a while ago and you've been slowly repaying your mortgage debt, and in the meantime the value of your property's increased, you'd now have some equity in your home. For many Australians, they've got significant equity in their home. So my suggestion is to borrow against this unused equity and use the money to buy an investment property. Now, previously, the debt against your home was what we said, necessary debt. But reborrowing or recycling those funds means now you'd have good debt because, as I explained, you can use this to buy an appreciating asset that'll bring you cash flow every month. But here's the cash. To recycle your equity into good debt, the debt's got to be used for the right thing. It can't just be used for anything. If you borrow against the equity in your home to buy a car or to use debt for other personal purposes, the interest isn't tax deductible. Now, just to make things clear, it's not the security that you use to borrow the money, for example, your home, which determines if the interest is tax deductible or not. It's the purpose of the loan, what you're borrowing it for. So if you're borrowing it to invest, to make money, then the interest is tax deductible, even though loan, the first part of the loan that you're going to use as a deposit, is against your home. So back to this debt recycling thing. It may be still a bit confusing, so let me explain it with this sort of seven-step guide. Number one, over time you'll have paid down a portion of your home. You'll, like most people, have a principal and interest loan, and in the meantime the value of your house would have increased. So the difference between the current value of your home and the outstanding amount of your mortgage is your equity. So, we know the bank will often lend you 80% of the value of your home, as long as you can show serviceability. So you'd now take out a new investment loan using your available home equity as security, but the purpose of this second loan, so it's not taking up the original loan, you've got to make a separate loan for the purpose of using as a deposit on an investment property. Imagine your home's now worth $600,000 and you've got available equity of $300,000 because you've paid your mortgage down to $300,000. Let's imagine you recycle $150,000 of this $300,000 equity you've got as a loan. In other words, you take out a new investment loan for $150,000, which, as I said, would be used as the deposit for an investment property. But again, the initial security was your home. This would leave you with a loan-to-value ratio of about 75%. In other words, you'd have $450,000 loan, $300,000 originally, plus the new $150,000, on a $600,000 property. Well, that's well within the bank's lending parameters, isn't it, a 75% loan-to-value ratio? But what you do is use this $150,000 to invest in assets that produce income and capital growth. Now, I like property, but you may, in fact, use it for managed funds or shares if you know what you're doing. You could even use the income generated from your investments, plus any tax advantages of the geared investment, to pay off your non-deductible debt in your home loan. Hey, that's some debt recycling. Over time, this means you'd build your wealth in your investment properties as your investment properties go up, as your share portfolio goes up, and as your increasing cash flow comes, as the rent increase and the dividends increase, you're becoming wealthier. Remember what I said a while ago, debt is an asset in today's environment. But at the same time, you'd be slowly paying down your home mortgage. So when you reach your retirement years, when you eventually get into that longest holiday you're going to have in your life, you're going to own your own home with no debt because you'll have slowly paid it off. You'll have an investment property portfolio and some shares, preferably both, with a manageable level of debt. That's the concept of debt recycling. But in order for it to work, you need the following. Firstly, in the short term, you need a regular, dependable income, independent of your property portfolio, that you can rely on to maybe deliver some surplus cash flow to cover interest payments on your investment loan. Or you need a rainy day cash flow buffer to see you through the ups and downs of your property investment journey. And this is often in the form of money in an offset account. Clearly, you also need to have a long-term investment focus, and you need to be able to manage your money sensibly. In other words, you need a willingness to increase your debt and hold on to an investment loan. And you're going to have a tolerance of risk and understand the short-term fluctuations of investments. As boy, have we noticed over the last couple of years. And I'd also suggest you have income protection insurance. In other words, look after yourself. It may provide the replacement income in case you're sick or injured or unable to work. So now that you understand a little bit more about debt recycling, you can maybe understand why I started off by saying good debt isn't a problem. In fact, in today's low interest rate environment, where you can use it to get better returns than it costs you, in my mind, debt is an asset. But despite our property markets moving strongly at the moment, if history repeats itself, and it will, not everyone who buys an investment property is going to be successful, and most people are not going to use this strategy properly because they're going to buy the wrong properties. Now, why do I say that? Because we've got a boom at the moment. You're probably thinking, oh, I can just buy a property and it's going to go up. That didn't happen in the last boom, or the one before, or the one before, or the one before. Every cycle, a small group of investors does really well, and the majority just don't seem to make it because they buy the wrong properties. So be careful. A rising tide lifts all ships in the short term. But you know what Warren Buffett said, when the tide goes out, you'll see who's swimming naked. So now is the time to take advantage of the opportunities in the current property market. They're offering great opportunities, but proper asset selection, owning the right properties, is critical. And again, if you'd like to have some assistance with that, if you'd like some direction, some guidance, if you start off with a strategic plan to make sure that you're doing the right thing, and just as importantly, not doing the wrong thing, you can trust my team at Metropole to give you that direction, guidance, and results. Just go to metropole.com.au. We'd love to be part of your wealth creation journey.
Now here's Michael's mindset message. Remember, a change in your thinking will lead to a change in your life.
You know what's so interesting about success? When I look at people around me who are very successful, I mean, whether it's in their business, whether it's in investing, whether it's with money or their physical health, or maybe it's their relationships, you know, it's not that they're any smarter, and it's not that they're any more talented, and it's not that they were born with something special. Instead, they've simply got a different mindset. They think differently. And you've heard me say it before on these podcasts. Your thoughts lead to your feelings lead to your actions lead to your results. So for these successful people, for all successful people, their outside world, the results that you see, is a reflection of their inside world, the way they think. So today I'd like to share with you five ways that you can think differently to help you become more successful. And the first one is that average people think, I can't. While successful people ask themselves the question, how can I? Now, I remember reading about this way of thinking in Robert Kiyosaki's book, Rich Dad, Poor Dad, when he said that the poor people tend to say, I can't afford it, while the rich people ask, how? How can I afford it? Of course, it's a good example of that today, when currently many people are saying, I can't afford to get into the property market, it's too expensive. Yet a small group of people are asking a much better question to themselves. They're asking, how can I get into the property market? And by doing that, by asking themselves the right sort of question, they spend less than they earn, they save a deposit, they educate themselves along the way, they become financially fluent. Maybe they take advantage of the first homeowner's grant or the first 5% first homeowner scheme, whatever. But they're doing different things because they're asking themselves a different question. So in what areas of your life are you thinking, I can't? Now that you understand this, in which areas of your life can you ask yourself a much better question, how can I? Because the quality of the results you get has a lot to do with the questions that you ask yourself. Okay, the second way that you can become more successful by changing your way of thinking today is, where the average person thinks I want, successful people think I will. Way back in Star Wars, Yoda famously said, do or do not, there's no try. So let me ask you a question. Have you ever said, I want to become financially disciplined, or I want to invest in property, or I want to get a bigger property portfolio, or maybe it's I want to lose weight? There's a massive difference between desire and commitment. And that's why if you want to become successful, a more important mind shift is moving from I want to I will do. You know what it's like. You want to do things, but then you find that they actually don't get done. You never get around to doing them, whether it's the daily exercise, whether it's losing weight, whether it's being disciplined with your money. I found it interesting that many of us are so disciplined in some areas of our life, such as diet, such as exercise, such as fitness, yet poorly disciplined in other areas of their life, such as money management success. So how do you get to do things rather than just want to do things? The answer is not just to convince your logical brain, the logical side of your mind, that you've got to do things. You've got to work on the unconscious part of your mind, your emotional side. And the best way I know of doing that is to figure out your why. So why is it that you want to do what you want to do? I mean, why do you want to lose weight? Once you've had your heart attack and the doctor tells you you've got no choice, it's funny how suddenly you can take on the daily walks, you can eat better, you can get fitter. Similarly, why do you want to invest in property? Work on your why. Is it more choices in life down the track? Is it the financial freedom that you and your family are going to have? Because the stronger your why, the more likely you are to move from I want to I will do. So as I'm walking through some things that you can do differently today to become more successful tomorrow, the next one I want to discuss is that the average person thinks it's not my fault, while successful people think it's my responsibility. You see, there's no such thing as a rich victim. Yet when things go wrong, most people have to say, it's not my fault. You know, it's never their fault. They blame their parents, their education, the boss, the banks, the government, the financial system. In contrast, successful people take responsibility. Fact is, it doesn't matter whose fault something is. Successful people take ownership. They take responsibility for everything in their life. So from now on, no more of this, well, it's not my fault anymore, it's not my fault that this happened. Instead, start thinking, it's my responsibility. I don't care why it happened, but I'm going to make sure it doesn't happen again. Because that's a way that you can change your way of thinking today that's going to make you more successful tomorrow. And the fourth way you can do this is understanding that while the average person thinks, hey, I got lucky, successful people think differently. They think, I created my own luck. A lot of people think that rich people are just lucky. You know, successful people are lucky. Great athletes are lucky. But talk to any of those rich people. Talk to any of those successful people. Have a chat with one of the great athletes and you'll find out it's not luck. Sure, we occasionally get random good luck. We occasionally get random bad luck. Good luck, you know, like winning the lottery or receiving an inheritance. No one has control over random good luck or bad luck. However, the rich and successful people, they manufacture their own luck. They're in the business of creating luck. And they do certain things every day that create the opportunity for good luck to occur in their lives. And we call these rich habits. And they're the focus of my international best-selling book that I've written with Tom Corley, Rich Habits, Poor Habits. I'm sure you've heard about that great book. By the way, go to richhabitspoorhabits.com and get your own copy. Now, these rich habits are various habits that these successful people have either learned, that they've learned from a parent, a mentor, or through the school of hard knocks. On the other hand, the average person does things that manifest into bad luck. And we call these things poor habits. But let me make one thing clear. you've already won the lottery. If you're listening to my podcast, you're in one of the best countries in the world. You've also won the genetic lottery by being born at the best time in history. And you're living in a place where most people would die to get the freedoms that you've got. Now, I'm sure you've also heard the expression, though, the harder I work, the luckier I get. So luck does happen to us all the time. It happens to everybody. But people who are prepared for it, people who recognise it, and they're prepared to take advantage of the luck, they're the ones that actually reap the benefits of that lucky situation. So the bottom line is, if you want more luck, if you want more luck in your life, be prepared for it by developing good habits, by working hard, and by being optimistic. And the last lesson I'd like to share with you today, the last way you can think differently to make you more successful tomorrow, is not think like the average person who thinks it's happened, because successful people think differently. They believe, I made it happen. See, a lot of people think that what happens in their life is just an accident. But as I said, successful people realize that nothing just happens. They understand the principle of cause and effect. They realize that we're creating our future every day by the things that we're doing today. Just like you've created what's happening to you today by things that you did quite some time ago. For example, you're listening to this podcast today because a while ago you decided you were going to be interested in success, in money, in property investment, and you may have subscribed to my blog, you subscribed to my podcast. Similarly, today your state of health is a result of your good habits or your bad eating habits, of your exercise or your lack of exercise, things that occurred months ago, years ago. And your financial state is a result of your money habits, how much delayed gratification you've had, what your investment decisions were, the ones that you made a long, long time ago. That's right. Everything in this world is a result of something that made it happen. As I mentioned before, it's something called the principle of cause and effect. Everything that happens is a result of something else. But the good news is that you can change your future by changing your way of thinking today and by changing your actions today. Similarly, you can actually reverse engineer things, things that you wished would have maybe happened a different way. You can ask, why did that happen? You can now do that because you recognize it wasn't an accident. So if you're unhappy with any part of your life, realize that you are today, you are where you are today, because of all the things you've chosen to do and the things you've chosen not to do. Every decision you've made, it brought you exactly to where you are today. Now, rather than taking this as a negative, let's look at the positive side. What this means is every decision you're going to make moving forward will lead you somewhere else. So the lesson from this is to stop treating your life as if everything just happened, and start creating a new future by thinking differently and developing good habits. So you're probably thinking, this is all very good, Michael. What can I do about it? Well, I'm going to tell you what you can do about it, because there are some shortcuts. You can get a mentor. A mentor sees your blind spots. They teach you a different way of thinking. And you can hang around the right sort of people. You've heard it said before that the people you hang around with are the ones you most become like. You should hang around successful people, positive people, and people who've already achieved what you want to achieve. And that's exactly what happens when you join us at Wealth Retreat each year. So why not join me for 5 transformative days on the Gold Coast on June 6th to 10th and get some one-on-one private mentorship sessions from me that things that you need to achieve your most ambitious goals and dreams. But Wealth Retreat is not just about property. It's about business, it's about life in general. The aim of Wealth Retreat is to plan the rest of your life, to become the sort of person you plan to become, because we have a theme of where you're going to be in 5 years' time. The aim of Wealth Retreat is to create lifetime wealth and leave a legacy. And when you join us at Wealth Retreat, you can go to wealthretreat.com.au, or there's actually going to be a link in the show notes. You're going to get mentorship. You're going to have the opportunity to interact one-on-one with me and our faculty. So you're going to be able to get a deeper insight and achieve your specific goals in your property, in your business, in your life. Wealth Retreat's not just for property investors, but it's also for entrepreneurs and business people, because there's a lot of coaching from Mark Creedon for those business investors, business people, the entrepreneurs as well. You're also going to get masterminding. You're going to spend several hours a day brainstorming and getting ideas, advice, and solutions to your challenges from a hand-picked group of high achievers. You're going to get networking. You're going to have plenty of time to build relationships with other participants during the breaks, at the meals at night, so you can connect on a deeper level and benefit from their input, from their experience. And yeah, you're going to have fun too. There's going to be very long days, full nights, and I've got some surprises for you. And If you want to get the highest possible level of support for your most ambitious life goals and your business goals, I encourage you to join me at Wealth Retreat. Go to wealthretreat.com.au and express your interest. You can't book in. It's an invitation-only event, and you'll have a chance to speak with me one-on-one, and you can learn about this life-changing event. It's your chance to take your property investments, your career, your business to a much higher level, or change that script completely that's in your head. Because if you enjoyed the session we did today, there's a lot of that at the beginning. And once we instill a new mindset, and once we give you new goals, then we give you a toolbox full of tools to get to the next level. So it's a unique opportunity, a rare chance to get a great team of mentors around you, people who are already successful, people who are willing to help you become more successful. Now, if you say, I'm not up to that level yet, please don't count yourself out. Because when you surround yourself with such motivated, energized, spiritually charged people, you tap into the power of the group and you become more energized, more powerful yourself. There's no limit to what you can achieve, no limit to what you can accomplish with the support and encouragement of such incredible people. So go to wealthretreat.com.au. You know the numbers are limited. The room's already booked. We don't have a big event on purpose, so you get the best out of it. Leave your details and ask to speak to me. When you leave your details, I'll speak to you personally and see if it suits you. June 6th to 10th this year on the Gold Coast. I hope you got some benefit from the three lessons I shared with you today. And if you did, I'd love you to help somebody else by passing the message forward. Use the share button on the podcast app you're currently using, or just tell somebody about the Michael Yardney podcast, or why not tell the world by leaving a review. And if I read out your review, as I'm about to for Deezer, you left a review on Apple Podcasts, just email me, michael@metropole.com.au, and I'd love to gift you one of my books as a way of saying thank you. Now, this review said, I've been a listener for a couple of months now, and I've been working my way through all the previous episodes. As a future first-home buyer and dreams of owning multiple properties, I love the knowledge I'm gaining from the seasons. Thank you for educating a few future homeowner. Well, thank you for that great review. And by the way, if you're working through past episodes, you can just listen to me at 1.5 times speed. I still sound pretty good, I think. Now, I've got another way of helping you become a more astute property investor, because if you're listening to my podcast, you're probably interested in money and success and property investment. So I've got a way of saying thank you for taking the time out of your busy day to listen to me. I'd like to gift you a wide range of ebooks to add to your success library. Just go to podcastbonus.com.au. I'll leave a link in the show notes, podcastbonus.com.au, and leave me your details, and you're going to get exclusive access to a range of my ebooks. Now, I'm going to be back twice a week, but in between, you can catch me on social media. Just look for Michael Yardney, or go to our private Facebook group. Go to Facebook and look for the Property Update Facebook group, because every day I leave some commentary, some charts, something special, something that I don't share elsewhere, to keep you up to date with what's happening in our markets. I look forward to catching up with you again real soon. In the meantime, have a great week. Make it a great week.
Thanks for listening to this episode of the Michael Yardney podcast, which was brought to you by Metropole, who help their clients grow, protect, and pass on their wealth through strategic property and wealth advice. If you like what you heard and don't already subscribe, you'll find us on iTunes or on your favorite Android app as the Michael Yardney podcast. Watch out for our next show, which comes to you twice a week, and you'll learn some new ideas about property investment, success, and money in around 30 minutes. To get more of Michael's thoughts, go across to www.propertyupdate.com.au and sign up for his daily morning briefing, and you'll hear from not only Michael, but a group of leading property success and money experts. And just a reminder that the information you heard in this show today is general educational advice and not specific investment advice, as we don't know your personal circumstances. If you're looking for specific advice, why not ask the team at Metropole to help you?